Well, good morning, guys. Man, isn't it? Do you guys love how genuine and real Pastor James is? I absolutely love it. Like, what if we took lead and senior and like mushed them together to be like leaner pastor? Would that be good? We can like make a name tag that says that. Pastor James is looking at me like, I don't think so, dude. No way. Well, good morning, guys. If I've never met you before, my name is Danny, and I get to be one of the pastors here on the campus, too. And after service, I'd love to say hi to you and just to get to know you a little bit. But we are in a series called Built to Grow. In the last few weeks, we've been looking at a lot of great areas that God just really wants to build and grow into us. We're looking at dealing with difficult people. And now that is like an amazing series because we deal with difficult people like on a daily basis, right? And how many of you are like, I'm the difficult person? Am I the only one with the hand up? I'm gonna put my hand down then. And then we were looking at different areas, like God has a plan for our lives. He builds us to have this amazing plans for our lives. And I'm gonna look at an area that's so good. I love this. God is building a family. And so God's building a family with us. When you guys came in, you should have gotten a little puzzle piece. Did you guys get a puzzle piece that came in? If you didn't, we'll just throw them out at you, and hopefully you can catch one of them as it comes by. Does anybody here enjoy doing puzzles? I remember when I was little, I used to try to do puzzles, and I got super frustrated I could never find the pieces that I needed. I wanted to do it as fast as I could, and I was always super frustrated, so then I thought, you know, puzzles were made to torture us from the enemy. That's what I thought when I was growing up. But there's something interesting about a puzzle piece, right? Like by itself, the piece just kind of seems small and a little random. I've got puzzle pieces just like randomly on the floor and like in my house because my kids. They're interesting. I love them, kind of random, but maybe even kind of seems insignificant because when they're by themselves, a little insignificant. But you know, the piece was never designed to just be alone, right? It was never designed just to exist alone. And it was created to do something different. It was created to connect to something bigger, right? And you know what? The truth is, that's with us as well. And we are created for something bigger. And I mean the kind of connection that God has designed his people to live in. You know, a kind of connection where we're known and where we're encouraged, we're challenged and we're prayed for and reminded that we're not walking a life alone with Jesus. A lot of people today are surrounded by, you know, a lot of people, but still are a little disconnected. You know, they might be connected online, connected, you know, digitally, connected superficially. Pastor James and I were talking this week about connection, and he actually sent me this message. It was from Kerry Newhoff, and it's interesting that 72% of our teens turn to AI, like a machine, for like advice when they're going through issues and challenges, and they're asking it what to do. And honestly, it's easy. I don't blame them sometimes because you could just pick up your phone and ask it questions. And who remembers that commercial with Alexa and Pete was asking him, hey, maybe I should ask Alexa to change his name. Like, hey, maybe I should change my name, Pee-Pee. And Alexa's like, no, I don't think you should do that. You guys remember that commercial? Okay, one person does. But they're looking for AI as a companion instead of people, which is so crazy to think about because you know what? They're not going to be deeply known and not truly connected. And that's for many of us. And what I want us to see today is God is not just building this crowd of people. He's actually building a family. And we're designed to belong in it. Isn't that awesome? Let's look at Ephesians 2:19 where it talks about this. And it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. What they're talking to right here is people that are in Christ, Christians, that believe who Jesus is, that believe that Jesus had died for their sins and then saved them. So he's saying here, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So God didn't only forgive our sins. Man, he says, I brought you into a family now. Yeah. We're designed for something. We're designed for a family. The first point I want is you were designed for a family. Your relationship with God is personal, but you were never meant to live it privately. God didn't say to do life alone. He saved you to belong. And that's what Ephesians 2 is saying. We are a member of God's household. Think about it. Look at it. They didn't say, you know, we're guests in his house. We're spectators in his house. You can watch from, you know, behind the windows. You're not outsiders anymore. He says you're family. A family means connection. You know, a puzzle piece by itself still exists, right? But it never fully becomes what it was created to be until it connects. And I think a lot of people live a spiritual life like this, disconnected puzzle pieces. You know, we attend, and we observe, and we believe, but never truly connect. And when that happens, something sets in. Isolation sets in. You're alone. And they slowly convince themselves that they don't need a community. They don't need a church. I'm fine being at home reading my Bible. And isolation is dangerous because it rarely happens at once, honestly. Most people don't wake up in the morning and be like, I don't need anybody anymore. This usually happens over time, happens slowly. Because we get it, life gets busy. Our schedules fill up. Who's got kids? Like, we know this. Like, we're taking them to school, bringing them to school. They've got extracurricular activities. They've got sports. They've got cheer. They've got so many different things. Also, disappointment happens. Sometimes we get disappointed even in the church with people. We get hurt by other people, and fatigue sets in. And little by little, people start to pull back. And you can see this, you recognize this, because this is what happens. It's first they stop staying after service. They just kind of leave real fast and slip out, and so no one can see them. Then they stop kind of opening up about things that are going on in their lives, maybe with friends or family, or even people here, friends at the church. Then they stop consistently coming to church. And eventually they convince themselves, you know, I'm fine. I'm fine, actually on my own. But God never designed you to carry life alone. Because isolation does something very dangerous. It silences encouragement in your life. It weakens accountability. And it limits growth. It gives the enemy room to start speaking lies into your loneliness. And some of the strongest spiritual moments in our lives happen because someone else was there, right? Someone was there encouraging you. Someone was there praying for you. Someone has noticed you. Someone has been walking life with you. And that's why community matters, because faith was never meant to be lived alone. And when we look at the early church, man, it's beautiful how the early church does this, and it's exactly what they did. They had connection like this. And so if we look in Acts, if you read the book of Acts, Acts is all about the church and the start in the church and how it just bloomed and blossomed and exploded worldwide. And they did it, and there's certain things that happened and why this happened. So early on in Acts 2, this is what it says. The people of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The early church was so deeply connected, guys. They worshiped together. They ate together. They prayed together. They shared life together. It wasn't just a Sunday thing here, which leads me to my next point is God's building a connection. God's building us through connection. And Acts 2 gives us that picture. They devoted themselves to this. They devoted themselves to teaching and hearing what God's word is. They devoted themselves to fellowship, getting together and talking, breaking bread, which means they're always eating together. Who loves to eat? Man, I love eating. Like, I watch Aaron, I don't know where he's at, but he's always got, like, when he's going to taco places, and I'm like, dude, I want to go with you so we can just eat and have some tacos together. But they also are praying together. They didn't just meet once a week. They didn't just only once on Sunday say hi to everybody and hang out in the cafe once and that's it. They lived connected lives. They knew each other. They knew what was going on in their lives. They knew when something funny was going on, like they're acting different, right? When you're with someone, you can kind of sense there's something different about the personality, their gestures, how they're acting, because they knew each other. They supported each other. And because of that, they grew. They grew in spiritually, they grew relationally, man, and they grew in numbers. Because spiritual growth happens through spiritual connections. And there's parts of our spiritual life that only can grow in community. Because you cannot encourage one another when you're by yourself. You can't take on burdens and walk life with others alone. Or the other person can't do that and help you and walk with you too. You can't serve one another alone. You can know God personally, but you grow spiritually in community. You know, every piece of the puzzle matters, right? Many of them. But no single piece shows the full picture, right? You can only see a little bit. You only see the beauty when the pieces come together. You know, that's how the church works. It's so cool. We all have different stories. And we all have different personalities. We're all different people. We all serve differently. And I'm so glad. And then my wife can be like, yeah, I'm glad you're the only Danny out there. Like, she probably couldn't take another me out there. But that's the beauty of it. Because God never intended for all of us to look the same, to act the same, to serve the same way, right? Because some people are really great with people. Some are not. And we know those people are like, ooh, you're kind of rough, man. Some people are great at building things. Some people are great at leading. Some are really good at encouraging. Some people are just good at organization, and I wish they were at my house. Some people pray faithfully. That was a late laugh. Some people pray faithfully just behind the scenes. And man, those ones are awesome. Some people make others just feel welcome the moment they walk in. And every one of those gifts truly matter. And the church is the strongest when everybody brings what God has placed inside of them. And some people may never be on the stage. But those people help create the moments where people can encounter Jesus. Like, think about it. Like, the greeters, they'll smile, and sometimes that smile could just take the anxiety someone has when they're walking into here. Our ushers can make someone feel seen and known. A lot of times, like, I don't know if you guys saw it during service here now, they were bringing out chairs and putting chairs out for people because you matter. Those people matter. We want you to know that you feel seen and there's a place for you. And kids, volunteers, man, they plant seeds of faith in children's lives. And someone serving the cafe, man, they're serving the coffee and they create this conversation that changes just somebody's week. And we know that, we see that. And all those things like, so truly matter. And when people use their gifts to serve one another, the church becomes healthy. The church becomes connected. Man, the church just becomes alive. Amen. And serving isn't about just filling a position. Man, it's about people using what God has just given them to build his family. And we can see this in 1 Corinthians 12. And this is such a great, great passage here. It says, Jesus, as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. You know, that's saying that every part matters. It's saying that you matter. It says your encouragement matters. It says that your presence here matters. You don't even have to say anything. Just you being here sometimes changes people, changes When we know people going through an issue, you don't have no idea what to say, but sometimes just sitting with them as they're going through it just matters. Your gifts matter. Because this is why God connects us together to build something bigger than ourselves. And that means being intentional about this. We have to be intentional, which brings me to my next point. Staying connected takes intentionality. It really does. And let's look at Hebrews for this. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another." Spur means encourage. How do we encourage one another toward love and good deeds? Not giving up meeting together. So don't neglect meeting together. Don't stop getting together, but encourage one another when you do that too. Because you know what? Connection just doesn't happen, right? It takes effort on our part. It takes us showing up. It takes us actually opening up. It takes us being here serving. It takes us encouraging people. It takes us staying after service instead of going and slipping out because like we're hungry. Like we help when we have like, you know, food out there. It takes us joining life groups. Because you know what is natural? Drifting. Drifting is so natural for us. It's so easy. But we don't drift towards connection. We actually drift away from it. Because life gets busy. Life gets sometimes comfortable. Real comfortable. Those blankets in the morning get comfortable, right? Our schedules just really fill up. And it's so much easier for us to not be intentional about connecting and being here. Connection doesn't happen by accident. It happens by commitment. And that's big. That's a big word, commitment. And maybe the enemy's greatest strategy isn't always destruction. Maybe sometimes it's disconnection. Maybe your next step today isn't just to be attending. And I love the fact that people are coming. And that's so amazing because that's a challenge for some people all in itself, is just to come. And for maybe it's more than that. Maybe now our next step is belonging. Maybe our next step is staying after service. Maybe it's joining the life group, our life groups, different life groups, and asking about life groups. When is life groups? What are life groups? Maybe it's meeting people, meeting a person. That could be scary sometimes. Taking one initial step towards connection. And for some of you, that might be actually serving. Your next step is serving. Because serving connects you to purpose. There's so many ways that, you know, our people here at church build our church every single week. Some are the first faces that we see as we're coming onto this campus, in the parking lot, with the golf carts, they're driving around picking everybody up, picking people up, helping families, opening doors, greeting people, making guests just feel welcomed. And that's before they even walk into the service here. Those moments matter the more the people actually realize. Man, we have our ushers are caring for us during service and after service. We have teams that are here in the morning before anyone even sees and wakes up and is on this campus, setting this place up before anyone gets here in the cafe and underneath the tent in their classrooms. And then after service, they break it down for our school so our school can be ready the next day. We have people in our cafe who are just serving food and coffee, preparing, which is creating a space for an environment for conversations and connection. We have our students and our kids' ministries who are teaching and loving on the next generation. And man, let me be clear about that. Those roles are not small at all. You know what those are? Those are ministry moments. And every single one of those areas helps people encounter Jesus. And something powerful happens when you begin to serve. You stop consuming church, and instead you start building church, building into church. Serving grows the church, but it also grows you. Because when you begin serving, you build relationships. you start to discover your gifts. Gifts that maybe you've never even known about before. And how exciting is that? You grow spiritually. You begin living beyond your own self. And for some of you, the thing you're looking for spiritually might actually be found on the other side of serving. Because you were designed to connect. And I think a lot of people here today might feel like this. Disconnected, on the outside, maybe a little lost, unsure of where they fit in their lives. But I want you to hear this, is God has a place for you in his family because you're not random. You've not forgotten at all. You're not some extra piece lying around. You're created to connect. A puzzle piece sitting by itself really still exists, but never becomes what is created to be when it's alone. And my challenge for us is let's be a church that gathers and connects together. Let's become a family that connects together. Because when disconnected find belonging, families are built, and then lives are changed, and the church becomes what God has really designed it to be. During the summertime here, we make plans with our families, and I start making plans with my families too because the kids are out of school. And we think about, hey, what vacations can we do? Can we get away a little bit out of the heat, right? But my challenge is also for me and for us is that even during the summertime here that we become a church more connected than ever before, finding opportunities in the summertime to be here, to be a part of what's going on. How can we start building into our church? How can we start changing people's lives? How can I be a part of serving the community, serving our families here? Because that's how we're going to grow spiritually. That's how we're going to grow as a church. That's how we're going to connect with our community better. And that's going to be my prayer. I'm going to have two prayers for us. One, that we're just going to be more connected this summer than ever before during this season. And the second is for people that maybe they have no idea what this family is and what it looks like and who Jesus is. And they're either interested in it or they want to know more about it. They want to accept Jesus. So would you guys pray with me for us for this summer? Lord, we thank you for, honestly, your love. Thank you for this amazing church of ours. And God, I want us to just really be more intentional and more committed and more connected this season than ever before, and that it just continues that way. Because we ultimately want people to be changed, to know love, to help people, to walk with people, to encourage people, and that our church would just spiritually grow, numerically grow, and that people will ultimately see you. And Lord, I pray that, I know you're working on people's hearts right now, and they feel disconnected. And they feel like they need something. And that they can find it in you. And Lord, I pray for those that are looking and seeking for you. And that this can be an opportunity for you to say, Jesus, I want you. I believe in you. I want you in my life. And all you have to do is say, I believe that you went to that cross. And you die for my sins, to take on the shame, to take on the guilt, and I will live a life differently following you. And you can say that right now. I thank you, Lord, for our church and what you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, I absolutely love you. Would you mind standing with me as we head into our next song here? Let's sing together and let's hang out together after service. I'll see you guys in